So I'm kind of glad to be here with you this morning and to share this message that I believe God has laid on my heart. I want you to keep this bulletin insert before you. You have some of the verses printed there, as well as a section from the worship book, which we don't have on our, but I have printed out for you. And then also handed out the song sheet, Lead Me, Guide Me. We'll use that for our responsive song at the end of the message. I'm not sure how this first word of this sermon title came to me, inclination. In fact, I'm not sure why a lot of thoughts enter my mind. Ever felt that way? Well, actually, that's what this message is about. First, I mean, need to define this word more clearly. Inclination. It's been swirling around my head for quite a few days. But maybe it has been in your mind, and however, there have been inclinations in your mind these past days. Actually, according to my definition, these inclinations are in your mind all the time. I substituted a couple different schools this past week in the high school, and I put the word inclination on the board, and most of the high school students had no clue what that word was. I did have one student that had some idea. So I might want to work on this, and I did some research of my own. Happened to be in a couple of English classes where I used the dictionary and the thesaurus to find out the deeper meaning of this word. One of the first was an act of inclining. Oh, I almost forgot. I had an object lesson here before us today. I hope this doesn't just detract, but maybe it'll help you remember more about this message here. Incline just means a slant. And so, as some of you know, I like to work with wood, so I just put this together. I had this part of this slanting thing, and then I have a section of this that can move, change the incline. This is not really the focus of my message, but just something to for you to help remember what the word incline or inclination means. Another definition is deviation from normal direction. Deviation from normal direction. And here's one, if you want to remember or take notes, is the definition I'll use, leaning of the mind or the will. The leaning of your mind or will. The other words that came to me was like a tendency, a bent, or a bias. And then I got to an interesting word, predilection. How about that word? Predilection. That's a good one. The definition of that was a partiality or disposition in favor of something. I found that quite intriguing and did some further delving into that and found the Latin form, which I don't understand, diligere, but it's moved towards love and being diligent. And then I found synonyms like deviation, digression, aberration, and variation. Hopefully those won't distract from the main definition that I want to use in our message today, leaning of the mind or the will. One word that I thought I'd find was the word desire, but I didn't find that as a synonym or meaning of inclination. But I looked up the word desire and I found in there the proclivity for action. Proclivity for action. So that's, I guess, where the last word of my message, sermon title, came from, action. So we're going to get to that a little bit later also. Now that information, you all know all about inclination. But do you know where your inclinations come from? You have them. In fact, I believe that they're swirling around your mind every waking hour. And we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit, but maybe even in your sleeping hours. You may have to check with Lowell here, this sleep respiratory therapist, whether inclinations are swirling around in our sleeping hours. You've done some sleep study. I don't know if you ever come across that part, but we'll leave that floating there, I guess. So, we will look at the leaning of the mind and the will. To look at this congregation today, I see that and that Nelson has made a count, we have 30. I guessed 29, so that's pretty close. So we've probably come up here with 30 different inclinations. Will we leave with 30 different inclinations? I believe you came here with inclinations. Maybe somewhat similar since it all came to the same place. Your inclination is probably more similar than 30 people in some train station waiting for a train. That would be 30 different inclinations. So that posed the question, where do your inclinations come from? I want you to join me in singing this song and see if we can focus our inclination. Not the song in our worship sheet yet, this is a different song. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, thou the living sanctuary for you. Do you think we might have a more similar inclination now? Similar, but still varied? Or are our minds leaning in a similar direction? So, can our inclinations be guided? Is that what a sermon is for? Did you come here for that? Let's trace the path that you and I had as we came here. We came here on this Sunday morning. Some came to Sunday school at 9:30. Some followed inclination to come here at 10:15. For this, what we call the worship hour. Many of you regular attendees are inclined to sit in the same seat that you sat last Sunday, although some have changed their inclination, so it can be changed. Now that we've reached this 11 o'clock hour, hopefully you're inclined to listen to this message. However, some of your minds may begin to wonder. I have to admit that. Or maybe they begin to wander in different directions. You may be wondering where the biblical basis of this is. Actually, Lowell helped show that with choosing one of the Psalms, and I'll refer to one a little later also. He's been talking about this I word so much here now. Is inclination, is this word even in the Bible? Actually, it is not. The word incline is. It's there about 28 times. And one of them is from Proverbs 2:18. So that thou incline thine ear toward wisdom. So let me encourage you to incline your mind, your will, and your ear towards wisdom. I'll incline this downward so just take you that illustration. Incline toward wisdom. Now, I haven't even read the text. Marvin read the text to us. But I want to call your attention to the part that's printed in your bulletin insert there. If you have a pencil or highlighter with you, the third line is really the focus of my text from Philippians. And I have it printed in bold type on my sheet in front of me, so that you may be able to discern what is best. We have different inclinations, but the focus I want us to look at is so we be able to discern what is best. I have four objectives for this message. Number one, to find out where inclinations come from. Number two, find ways to enhance inclinations day by day for a fuller and richer life. I believe that inclinations can be trained, guided, and changed, even though change is difficult for some of us old folks. I think we can change our inclinations. But as I was studying this, I was thinking more of raising children. Do we try to guide their inclinations in certain directions? I certainly think we do. Number three is learn how to act or not to act on inclinations. Some inclinations are not good. Then number four, find ways to positively influence others on their spiritual journeys, or to begin, or to continue to grow in their walk with Christ. Now, I'll begin with the focus on number two, sort of like the streets here around the Stanton Mennonite Church, and it won't go in the right order here. That's part of the way my random mind works anyway. It's not that we need to develop inclinations, we all have them. I hope you agree with that. I'm not sure if you do, but I think we have them every waking moment. So how can they be improved or enhanced. I see you're sitting on the edge of your seats now, waiting for Morado to give the answer. However, I'm going to maybe disappoint you. My son read over this. He was there this weekend, and he said, "Don't doubt yourself." I'm not doubting myself, but I just want you to be prepared for the truth here. I read a book this past week where the author said, "I rarely write of what I know. I usually write of what I want to know. And so I speak. And you can help me." No one has all the answers, but we have one that knows the answer, and hopefully you can find some guidance in that direction. Do I have an inclination for more? Not more stuff, but more of God, a hunger for God. What does that really mean? We've heard that phrase, a hunger for God. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." Is that the ultimate purpose of our lives here on earth? If so, how do we achieve that? How do we achieve rest in God? "Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." In another book I was reading, All That Really Matters, by Sheila Wells, she says, "To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul and mind and strength." I don't think that's original with her, but that was part of what she spoke about, that all that really matters. How do we achieve that? Have you ever thought how you can love God with all your strength? Are you talking about physical strength, mental strength? Do we just pray and ask that for that to happen? We do pray. J.I. Packer says in Knowing God, he says, "I should pray that Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would teach us about our Father and fuel our desire to love God with everything that we have. This is all that really matters." As I reread what I wrote so far, I realize that I don't often have the inclination to just sit quietly and think about God. A.W. Tozer states that what comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. It indicates where our inclinations are going when we sit and think about God. Back to Philippians 1. "So that you may be able to discern what is best." Now, objective number one, where do inclinations come from? They can come from within or from without. I believe I just got a good illustration as I was teaching at Stewart's Draft and was able to show the video October Sky. I don't know if you're familiar with the video October Sky. It's about a family or situation in West Virginia, a coal mining city, where a young man doesn't want to follow his father into the mine, but wants to build rockets. And he has this different battles going on inside him, listening to his father, listening to the teacher. The teacher says to the student who wants to quit school, he says, "Sometimes you can't listen to what anyone else says. You have to listen to what's inside you. You have to listen to what's inside you. You're not supposed to end up in these coal mines." He listened to this teacher and the inclinations for his scientific endeavor, and he did become a rocket scientist. Another example, I had this past week when I was scheduled to teach. I arrived at a school, went to reported to the classroom. The teacher was there and said, "I don't need a sub today." Well, that's only happened once or so before, but I went back to the office to check with the substitute assigner, and she looked at her list and said, "Oh yeah, I made a mistake. You're not supposed to be here today." So I got a rare paid day off. They said, "Well, we'll pay you since you came in." And actually, I think turned down another job. So I sat there thinking for a while what to do. And I thought of going up to the mountains to take a little hike, but I wasn't really dressed for that. So I went home. I must say that my inclination when I was going home was not to trim the hedge that needed trimming there. However, when I came home, there was a sustained little note on the where notes are left sometimes, "Trim the hedge." I followed this extrinsic, this is an extrinsic inclination. I followed that. And so maybe there's even hope for me. I can still change in my old age. Here's another little side note to help you understand this. We should not mistake intrinsic with instinct. Animals have instinct, a built-in mechanism that helps them to survive. Did you know that there's a certain spider, an orb spider, that builds a new web every morning? Well, I don't know if it's all 365 days of the year, maybe just during hunting season. This spider actually destroys the web at the close of the day, rolls it up to a tiny ball, and ingests this web, and then uses the protein from this and builds a new web the next morning. That's the pattern of the orb spider. That's instinct. But we don't live by that. We live by inclinations which we have some control over. That's part of the point of this message. You may wonder why I chose Romans 12, verse 2, when usually Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 are tied closely together. But I just wanted to use one phrase from that second verse. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Be changed by the renewing of your mind. Be willing to change the instincts that swirl around in your mind. I believe that this can help because it says that these inclinations are proper, good, and righteous, come from the renewing of the mind. And how do we do that? I guess we do need to look a little bit at verse 1, even though that's not part of our text. It says in verse 1, give your bodies to God. And this includes our mind. Give your bodies to God. Let God change your life. First, you and I must give it to God. Now let's look at objective number 3. Learn how to act or not to act when inclinations come. One translation from Philippians 1:10 says, approve the things that are excellent. Approve here could be decide upon. And here I give credit to Joseph Stoll, former president of Moody Bible Institute, who states, our lives are not made by dreams we dream, but the choices we make. Dreams here could also be inclinations. But just having them turn around in our mind does not translate into action. I continue on, it says, so I'm not surprised that God is interested in the choices that we make. And he directs us to approve the things that are excellent. Can we really restrict our lives to making excellent choices? This can be very challenging. We may sometimes think we have to go it alone, but I don't think we do need to go it alone. That's why we've gathered together here as a congregation, and even you as visitors have come, because you don't want to just go at this journey alone in making excellent choices. But as this last part of this text indicates, it's worth it. It says, and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So, to answer the question, can we always make excellent choices? By ourselves? No. But we don't have to go it alone. It comes through Jesus Christ. So this excellence that we achieve is through Christ. And it brings us purity. Purity. There's nothing better than to make choices that bring pleasure and a blameless and a clear conscience. Excellent choices can bring productivity in life that produces the righteous fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. And this choice can also bring us purpose. A life of excellent choices brings glory to God, the very purpose of our redemption, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. When we follow the inclination to do what's best for others, according to God's word, excellence is a product. We have excellent dads, excellent moms, children, pastors, employers, employees, excellent people that make excellent choices. Remember, your life is not made by the dreams you dreamed, but by the choices and actions you take. But we need to be able to discern this, and I think especially when I see young people making some bad choices, not just young people, but we see the consequences have a long-lasting effect when some bad choices are made, when wrong inclinations are followed. So we need to be helping each other in making the right choices. Of objective number four is developing inclinations to positively influence others in spiritual journeys to start or continue to grow. Now, stated in Sunday school that we talked about, where there were some choices that we had made that affected us in the long term. And I think of various, and for those that have been here, and one of the inclinations that I followed, that I had shared, was to, when I was driving down Highway 11 on January 11th of this year, and the inclination to stop at Middle River Jail and speak to Jordan Strickland. Now, I'm sure I've missed some other inclinations, but for some reason that was a strong one, and God gave me the courage and the guidance to follow that inclination. That had some long-term effects. I have in my pocket a letter here, I'm not going to read, but Jordan sent me just this past week when I asked him what he had learned about God since January 11th. And he shared some of the things that had happened there. So, in this objective four, can we positively influence others in their spiritual journeys? Yes, we can. And we have different ways of facing them. They come in different ways. If your personality is involved, maybe our walk with God is has a factor involved there. But we need to be able to discern, and we need to help each other discern this and encourage each other. And this is part of my message this morning, to encourage each one of us to follow the inclination to be an influence on somebody else. If we're parents of young children, we have a special responsibility there. If we're older, maybe we have some responsibility with our grandchildren. Or maybe we don't have children at all, maybe we have influence in our place of work or in just our neighbors. We all have some sphere of influence that we need to decide on how we can influence others on their spiritual journeys. Have you ever invited someone to have a radical encounter with Jesus Christ? Encounter that could change their inclinations. When I see these young people in the high school where I substitute or in other schools, I don't see inclinations towards spirituality very much. Once in a while I do, and I, in my limited sphere there, I try to influence them in a positive way. But I think people can point back to somebody that had influence of your life that helped guide your inclinations in a spiritual way. An encounter with Christ demands a response. It requires that all is laid down before Jesus at the foot of the cross. So let's ask ourselves today, are we following the inclination that Christ has placed within us and following the guidance of the Holy Spirit by reading the Word, by listening to songs and things like this? I made a note here someplace, and if I can find it, one of the songs that Global chose here had an indication. Yeah, the one, I hear music in the air. Maybe it comes to music. Another verse of that song said, I think of Jesus. No, we can't probably do this, 24 hours a day and all our life, but we need to think of where our inclinations go when we have our waking hours and have our opportunities to share with other people. So in conclusion, we learned some where inclinations come from. Maybe that word I've repeated so many times, it'll be swirling around your head for the next few days, and maybe you can guide them in the direction that God wants them to go. We found ways to enhance or improve or even change some of these inclinations. Then we have found out how to act or not to act, and maybe again influence others in their spiritual journey. I want you to look more closely to the bulletin insert that you have here, and we're going to read this through together. But I want to just read it. I want you to hopefully take this with you, internalize it, especially the middle verse. I found this, it fits exactly, I think, with what I've been trying to share with you this morning. I'm going to read this aloud as a follow along here, if your insert there. God of guidance, quicken your Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds so that we may follow what is right. And here's the guidance for action. Give us direction so we may know which way to choose and which to refuse, which course to claim and which to reject, which action to take and which to avoid. Enlighten our minds, purify our hearts, strengthen our wills, and lead us to live as faithful followers of Jesus all the days of our life. Now hopefully that we can carry these words with us and be guided by the Holy Spirit to do what He has taught us to do. In closing, for the hymn of response, I'd like to have us sing together this page that we handed out here. This is from another hymn book. You notice on the top left-hand corner says Ron's Song. Back in Indiana, this is my favorite song, and one of our friends printed this out and just put that in there. Kind of fun, but I think, again, this fits with our message. We need to admit our weakness and also ask for help to tread the paths of righteousness, to aid when Satan and sin oppress, to follow the right inclination. Can you hear the pitch there, Lowell? I'll just leave that from here.
I'm weak and I need thy strength and power to help me over my weakest time.
So I believe
that thanks to thee, lead me, O Lord, lead me, lead me.
Enlighten our minds, purify our hearts and strengthen our wills, and lead us to live as faithful followers of Jesus Christ all the days of our lives. Amen. Go in peace.